In this episode, you'll learn the mindset that keeps you trapped in overwhelm and how effective leaders think instead. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. This is a tough love episode. We're going to be taking a look at the mindset that if you're feeling constantly overwhelmed, this is the mindset that keeps you trapped and out of balance. And you'll learn what to do about it so that you can invest your time and energy in what's important and what's most important. Enjoy your work, reduce your stress, and really build the career that you want. And you know, we on this show, we talk a lot about communication skills, of course, because so much of leadership is our communication with our team, our manager, our colleagues, and customers. But today, we're talking about another conversation, and this one is critical. This is a conversation you have with yourself. And just so you know, I am right here with you. If you're listening to this going, yeah, this is me. Part of the reason I talk about this from time to time is because this is a conversation I consistently have to have with myself too. And the reasons for this vary depending on your personality and upbringing, and all different sorts of things factor into it. But this conversation with yourself is the difference between constant overwhelm and a fulfilling, energized life that you live with purpose. So what is this problematic mindset keeping you trapped in overwhelm? Well, I'm going to call it the no limits mindset. So let me explain what I mean. So just this week, I was watching some videos and on social media, and this woman came on and it made me laugh. She said, talking about time management, look, all I want is to be able to do all the things that I have to do and then still have time to do all the things I want to do. You know, and of course, tongue in cheek, and her attitude was like, is that so much to ask? You know, that kind of thing. But the reason it's funny is because we really do think that way so much. So many of us really get trapped in that kind of thinking that if I find a way to work harder, if I find the perfect productivity system, if I just get more organized, if I just train my team and all the things they need to know, that if I can just do any or all of those things, that I'm going to be able to do all the things I need to do or want to do. And listen, you may need to work harder. I'm not saying you don't. You may need find a productivity system that works more effectively or helps you be more efficient or helps you avoid duplication of tasks or ways to automate or delegate some things that you shouldn't be doing. You may need that. You may truly benefit from getting more organized or from training your team. Of course, all those things can be true. But what I want to make clear is that no matter how much effort you invest in those things and how good you get at them, they won't ever allow you to do everything. In our leadership development programs, when we talk about productivity and helping teams and organizations accomplish their purpose and the work that they're there to do in a human-centered way, one of the phrases that we'll introduce fairly early on in the program is this: infinite need, finite me, mind the MIT. What do we mean by this? Let's break it down. Infinite need. What I mean by this is that the world and your business and your customers and your family and friends, there is an infinite need of things coming your way. If you took 10 minutes right now, you could, and I just wrote as many possible things that you could possibly be doing with that 10 minutes, you'd come up with a huge list. And I gave you more time, you'd get even longer. There are so many things you could be doing with any unit of time. Some of them are things other people are asking of you. Some of them are things that are requirements or that life has put on you in some way. Depending on your circumstances, they can be pretty serious. They can be taking care of family members, elder care, child care, partner care, dealing with sickness, infirmities. There's all sorts of just life stuff, right? And that's not even before you get to work. And so then you get to work and you've got all the KPIs or OKRs or MITs, which in our language, that's most important things, all of these that pull for our attention. And that even given one MIT at work, one strategic goal that is in front of you, just limited to that, you could probably find 20, 30, 40 different ways that you and your team could contribute to that goal. So to really wrap your head around this infinite need, there truly is an infinite number of things or an infinite number of things you could be doing with your time. And that's important to recognize because if we don't start with that understanding of how life is, we get trapped by the following part of it. So infinite need, finite me, recognizing I am a limited human being. I love Oliver Berkman's book, 4,000 Weeks, because he basically says that's the limit of a human life. Yeah, on average, about 4,000 weeks. That's what we get. And within those 4,000 weeks, we get the days. And within those days, we have the hours. And depending on your physiology, you get, you know, somewhere between, you know, I have a friend who can truly subsist on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And I'm like, wow, I cannot do that. I'm more in the 7 range. I can get 6.5 to 8 in that ballpark. I'm doing good. So what does that leave you? If you're an 8 hour a night person, that leaves you 24 minus 8. Do the math here, David. 16 hours, 16 waking hours a day. That's what you get. Some of that's devoted to family, to your own health and wellness, to recreation, to friends, all of those things. And then some portion of it's devoted to work. You are finite. There's a limited amount of you. And even if you add to that limited you $1 billion and a team of 20,000 people, which there are a few leaders in the world who have that, business leaders, political leaders, some of them have that. And you can tell from the news and any study of history, those people are still limited in what they can accomplish. Limitedness is just part of the human experience. Now, why is this so important? Because so often we live as if we just worked harder, if we just found the right productivity, if we just did this, if we just did that, we'd be able to do it all. And we can't. And the do it all might just be the list of things on your to-do list from your own manager or from your business, from your company. And we'll talk about this in a moment, but the reality is that organizations have a life of their own and they will ultimately kind of ask for as much as they can be given unless there's some really strong leadership building systems that prevent that. Now, I'll talk more about that in a minute, but one of the ways that I like this, heard this stated was the entrepreneur and investor, Andrew Wilkinson. He observed that most successful people, defined as kind of that financial business successful model, most successful people are just a walking anxiety disorder harnessed for productivity. Which I think, wow, you know, that's fascinating to think about, and there's some truth to it. And so as leaders, before we can build a better team, a better culture, a better organization that doesn't treat people that way, that isn't extractive, that isn't taking advantage of someone's need to feel valuable, and therefore work more than they should be and getting themselves out of whack, before we can do any of that, we have to do it for ourselves. So the conversation with yourself here is, I can't do it all. I have some choices to make. That's what infinite need, finite me, mind the MIT is all about. Infinite number of things you could do. Limited amount of you to go around. So what are the choices you're going to make? That's what mind the MIT ultimately means. Mind the MIT, mind the most important thing. What is it that matters most? And what that is varies by time, by place, by context. Within the time you have at work, if you've got an 8 or a 9 or a 10 hour day that day, what is it that matters most in that time? If you've got a weekend, what is it that matters most? If you have an hour with friends, what is it that matters most for that hour with your friends? Is it being present with your conversation with them? Is it mindlessly scrolling and half listening? Is it playing a game? Is it having a deep conversation? I don't know. You know, that the what it is that actually matters most varies, and you have to make that call. And there are tons of time management systems that'll all try to, you know, help you understand and work through what are those things. But here's the deal with all of them. If they're not talking about the fact that you have a limited amount of time and that you can only do so many things, that really that the fundamental act of leading yourself and having a productive, fulfilling life isn't trying to see how much you can cram in. It's seeing how do you use the time you have to make the choices that are most fulfilling and rewarding for you, for the people you love, for the people you serve, for the purpose of your mission, your organization, what you're doing there. These are the choices we have. And every time I get overwhelmed, because I do, my whole life I've been a work hard, be productive, get it, you know, figure it out, very task focused. I mean, yes, business owner, right? So let's start there. Business owner, right now I'm also slowly, a little bit at a time, writing a novel. I'm also training for an ultra marathon. That's a lot. Those are three things. And that doesn't include all of the other life things, you know, buying groceries, cooking dinner, seeing friends, family, all of those kinds of things. But even with all of that, there are still choices I'm not making. And then I'm consciously choosing. I'm not going to focus on that right now because it's too much. And it would take me away from the choices I have made. So now if we take this down to the level of work, and you have that conversation with yourself, infinite need, finite me, mind the MIT, what are the choices I'm going to make about the most important thing, about what truly matters most? How am I going to help my team focus on those things? Part of that involves being able to say no. And of course, we're not going to get into all of that in this episode. If you want to check that out, I have a whole episode on saying no at work. It's episode 253, and even how to tell your boss no when you need to, because there'll be those times too. So check out episode 253 for saying no. But the reality is we've got choices to make, and what those choices are ours to make. And so I'm going to next go to the level of the organization. Okay, so I mentioned earlier that organizations tend to take as much as you'll give. That is the nature of most Western-based capitalist organizations. You've got a lot of reasons, a lot of history that goes into that, depending on the origin and where your company is coming from. Not all, and there are plenty of organizations now that have started building differently and are really conscious of being human-centered at a fundamental level. But there is also an organizational momentum that gets rolling with many companies, with many businesses. And so if you've ever worked one of those places that, you know, if you're not on call constantly during your vacation, then you're not really leadership material. All right. Those organizations exist. No fun to work for. I mean, unless that's your thing. If you really dig that and you like that level of adrenaline and it does it for you, okay. You're probably not listening to this podcast in the first place, but if that does it for you, great. I'm not being critical of your choice, but I also want to recognize that for most people, that's not an effective, mission-driven, purposeful way to live their life. And if you're caught in an organization like that, you need to start making some choices for yourself. And I know those choices aren't always easy. I've talked to many people who have the golden handcuffs, right? Who are like, gosh, but yeah, this is sucks, but the money's so good. And well, how much is that money going to be worth when you're burnt out? When you don't have the relationship you want with your family and with your loved ones? When you haven't invested in the life rewarding things that would be more meaningful for you 20 years from now, and it's too late to do that. So you got to weigh those things as you're making those decisions. But more important than that, if you're caught in an organization like that, I encourage you to listen to that episode on saying no and figure out some ways to start defining that reality for yourself. Because here's the thing. Even if you're in a fairly benign organization that has a good culture and good values, there's still a tendency people need things, and so they'll ask. And if you're always saying yes because you want to feel important, because you want to be a team player, because, whatever you're because, if you're always saying yes, you're still going to fall into the same trap of no limits and overwhelm, and you won't be effective. The choice to embrace your own limitedness frees you from that compulsion to say yes to everything. And it's your responsibility. You're the only one that can do it for you. Now, that said, while you're the only one that can do it for you, I also want to challenge you as a leader to be thinking about how you structure the systems that drive these kinds of requests and decisions for your people. Because while every organization tends to, in our system, ask more and more, it doesn't have to. That's a default. And if we're thoughtful about that, we can start building some other ways of doing it. It's one of the reasons that I'm such a big believer in the principle of scheduling the finish. So we've talked about scheduling the finish when you are having a conversation and assigning a due date or figuring out when a task is going to be completed, that you have a conversation about feasibility, about competing priorities, about what's possible. Is this possible? And sometimes that results in some really hard choices. Karen and I, in our own organization, we've got so many things we're excited to do. And in our own strategic planning just last week, we had to take a hard look at them and go, okay, that one we love. It's important. It's going to be great for our customers someday, but not now. Because these other two things are even more important. And if we're going to do those two things well, we have to say no to some other things that are still awesome, but not appropriate at this time. And so building that into the ethic and ethos of your culture will help your organization, help your people not get trapped in this same kind of mindset. Get it culturally ingrained that we have limits, that we can't do it all. And that minding the MIT, making those tough choices, that's what leadership, that's what effective teamwork, that's what it's all about. I'll wrap up here by going back to Oliver Berkman. I mentioned the book, 4,000 Weeks. If you haven't read it, fantastic book. Towards the end, page 234, he says this: the average human lifespan is absurdly, terrifyingly, insultingly short. But that isn't a reason for unremitting despair or for living in an anxiety-fueled panic about making the most of your limited time. It's a cause for relief. You get to give up on something that was always impossible. The quest to become the optimized, infinitely capable, emotionally invincible, fully independent person you're officially supposed to be. Then you get to roll up your sleeves and start work on what's gloriously possible instead. I'm David Dye. This is Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, and I really do hope that you'll have this conversation with yourself. And once you do, it's time to have the conversation with your team. And I've got a guide. If you've been listening, you know that I have a guide that you can print out and use to walk your team through all of these kinds of skills, including the how to say no skills, conversation skills, to help you reduce the team's stress, improve morale and productivity. And you'll find that at letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. So if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. If you truly focus on what matters most, you're on your way. Thank you, as always, to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep in Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for the work on this episode. Until next time, embrace infinite need, finite me, mind the MIT, and be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.